The neonatal intensive care unit houses a hospital's tiniest patients. The smallest babies can weigh less than a pound at birth. NICU nurses care for these tiny and fragile patients, and they guide the families through an often overwhelming experience. Stateside's Work in Progress series features conversations between people just starting out in a career and a veteran in that field. Today, we hear from neonatal intensive care unit nurses working in Grand Rapids.
Hi, my name is Emma DeYoung, and I work at Holland DeVos Children's Hospital in the neonatal intensive care unit.
I'm Dia Schaefer. I work in the neonatal intensive care unit at Helen DeVos Children's Hospital, and I have worked in this unit for 35 years. So, Emma, how did you decide that you wanted to be a nurse, and specifically a neonatal nurse?
From the age of three, my mom said that I always wanted to be a doctor. I always said I wanted to be a pediatrician, but then I realized how much schooling being a pediatrician took. So I found a nursing program, and I just fell in love with it and fell in love with clinicals. And I had a family friend that actually worked here at Helen DeVos, and shadowed him a couple times in high school and in college. And I just loved the unit. And I loved not only being able to care for the babies themselves, but the whole families. You get to do the best of both worlds. Dia, when did you know you wanted to be a neonatal nurse?
Unlike you, I didn't know I wanted to be a nurse at all growing up. But I did watch a lot of television, and I loved Medical Center and Emergency and Marcus Welby, MD. The nurses that I saw on those shows, though, no one I would have wanted to emulate at all. So I wasn't drawn to nursing. And then when it was time to go to college, my best friend decided to be a nurse, and I didn't see any reason to break up the dynamic duo that we had become. So I just went to nursing school with her. Loved the science part. Did not like the clinicals at all. That was not my thing. So I got done with school and thought, okay, now I don't want to do this. Now what do I do? And then I met someone that said, have you ever seen the neonatal unit? And I hadn't ever seen a neonatal unit, because in the 70s and 80s, when I was in school, neonatal was a pretty new thing. So I drove down to Butterworth Hospital and went up to the neonatal unit and asked to see the manager, and she gave me a tour. And I was like, this is it. This is it. This is so cool. It was the high energy I had seen on television as a kid, and these fascinatingly small little human beings. And it looked like a sci-fi place, because it was tiny, tiny babies hooked up to these really high-tech, huge machines, and it was really cool. So I came back the next day and signed the contract, and I've been here ever since.
What kind of person do you have to be to succeed as a neonatal nurse?
A neonatal nurse has to be extremely detail-oriented. When you think of the size of our patients are usually 1 to 5 pounds compared to 100 to 200 pounds. There's not room for error there. So, we figure everything to the hundredth of a milliliter. And then I think that being very analytical, because a baby is never going to say, I hurt here. You have to be able to look at their vital signs, their color, their tone, their expression. It's almost like being a detective, because you have to look at all the clues and put it all together and then act accordingly over long periods of time. These are 12-hour shifts where you have to be on the entire time. So that's kind of what I think of as sort of the hard side of nursing and neonatal nursing. Then there's a really soft side, and that's the caring and compassionate part, which is just as important as the other. You are at the bedside when everybody else walks away. So when a doctor comes in and gives a family really, really bad news, the doctor walks away, but you don't.
Right.
Almost makes me cry.
Yeah.
It's a really, really hard thing to do. Emma, do you have a time that you can recall that you were present when parents were given really bad news?
Yeah, actually, it was only a couple months into me working on the unit, and I had been taking care of this little girl for a couple shifts in a row. And we just kind of noticed that she didn't look like a normal baby looks. And so near the end of my shift, the genetic man came, and I was in the room with just the mom, and the dad was on his way to the hospital. And he said, I have her results. Would you like me to tell you what they are?" And she was like, "Yeah, like I want to know." And he said that her baby had trisomy 21 and or trisomy 18, which is a disorder that is non-compatible with life. And usually kids don't live past a couple years with this disease. I mean, the room went silent. And she was like, "I'm going to throw up. I'm going to pass out." And I like literally caught her. And we just sat in this recliner, and I like kind of sat on the edge of it. And she just like had her arms wrapped around me and was sobbing, and I'm sobbing. And all she kept saying was, "She's going to die. She's going to die. She's going to die." And you know, she was on a ventilator, but she was on, I think, 21%, which is room air oxygen. And I mean, her vitals were stable. So I just talked to mom for a while, and I'm like, we can't worry about the future right now. We need to take these moments, and she's beautiful right now, and she's doing great. And, you know, maybe there are different interventions that can help, you know, prolong her life. We just sat there, and I didn't know what to do. I was so new at this point that I'm like, I just need to cry with her, you know, because that's the only human thing you can do.
That's the only thing you can do.
Right.
And because you can't make it better.
No. There's nothing I could have said in that moment that would have helped. And actually, a couple months later, I had a friend at the hospital that ended up doing home care for them. And the mom mentioned my name and was like, "If you see her at work, will you just tell her, like, she made a huge difference for me. Like, my husband wasn't there for me in that very moment, and I would have had no one to cry to." I thought I wasn't doing anything, you know. I just thought that, like, I felt awful for her. I didn't know what to say. But it really did mean the world to her just to sit there and cry. How has neo-nursing changed over the years you've been doing it?
The profession itself, I think, has changed based on like innovations in technology and medicine. When I started, there weren't the tiny little babies that we see today. It was really rare to have a 1-pound baby. There was kind of this 28-week gestation cutoff for what we would try to save. And now we have a whole small baby unit for babies less than 27 weeks. Also, I think the unit is full of much more critically ill babies because we have the ability to save them now. So that is a big difference. The other thing is that we really focus now on neuroprotection. And years ago, we had babies on schedules, and we did things fast to get them over with and by the clock. And now we know that fast is not better. And we are in the only unit in the hospital, really, that's growing brains. I mean, it sounds like a science experiment, but we are growing brains on our unit. And everything that we do with these babies is hardwiring their brain for the future. Do you have any doubts about your career choice?
It's kind of hard to say I would have any doubts right now, just because I am enthralled with this profession. Like, I have never been so happy in a job. The only thing that I have kind of struggled with the last couple months is the emotional toll the ICU brings, you know, being that person that families can cry to or, you know, rejoice with. And that is something that I have struggled leaving at work. I hope that with more experience, I can learn how to separate that a little bit more and not become super emotional all the time, because it's hard, you know. You take care of a kid for months and months and months, and sometimes it doesn't work out the way you want it to. So
it is hard, and I think that you do have to learn to balance that because I'm telling you, it doesn't go away. It doesn't really go away, and it doesn't get any easier. If you really have a heart for people and for these babies, it hurts.
Right.
It does.
I know we talk a lot about the crazy, sad stories in the ICU, but we also are able to rejoice with parents a lot. Like, do you have a specific time that you had an awesome experience or saw milestones met or something that you could tell us about?
Yeah, this was probably about 18 years ago, and I took care of this little girl who was really, really sick. And she had been sick for quite a while before I started taking care of her. And she was so shut down by her whole hospital stay that she wouldn't even look people in the eye. And I put one of those crib mirrors in her crib, and she started looking at me in the mirror. She wouldn't look me in the eye, but she would look at me if my face was in the mirror. And I took care of this little girl for 6 months in the hospital. And I would put her in a wagon and take her for wagon rides. And she got up every morning and I'd put her in a high chair and play Baby Bach or Baby Beethoven. And she would watch videos in the morning. I was trying to normalize her life because she was here so long. And we had a Christmas tree in the break room and it was Christmas time. So I put her under the Christmas tree and we just had great times together. We bonded and I fell in love with this little girl. When she went home, I have to admit, I went to her first birthday party. But the neat part about this is every year on her birthday, she comes back to see me.
Aww.
And she's in high school. I think she's graduating from high school now. And she comes back every year to see me. And I don't think she knows how important that is to me to just watch her grow.
That was Emma DeYoung and Dia Schaefer, two neonatal intensive care unit nurses sharing career advice for our Work in Progress series.